Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams. Stop for good so you can easily get to a healthier weight and get on with your life. That's what it's all about. How amazing to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you'd like to join me today, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, compulsive eating, any kind of unhappy, unhealthy eating, any relationship that you have to food that you find problematic, the problem is not food. The real problem is what's eating at you. So first of all, it is January 1st, 2020. Happy New Year. I don't know about you, but I was very happy to say goodbye to 2019 and hello to a new year and a new decade. Although my 12-year-old, who is quite the empress of knowledge, she tells me that it's not officially a new decade until 2021, but I say we go with 2020 as the official start of the new decade. Okay, so it's January 1st, 2020. Are you making New Year's resolutions? This is the time for resolutions, right? The new year. Here are the most popular resolutions. Number one, this will come as no surprise, lose weight. Two, get in shape. Three, stop smoking. Wow, is that really still a thing? Do people still? I live in LA. Nobody smokes, so it's kind of bizarre to see stop smoking as a New Year's resolution, but I guess I am living in sort of an unusually healthy environment. Quit drinking alcohol, eat healthier, get out of debt, and get organized. Those are the top resolutions. Lots and lots of resolutions. We all have so many of them, and we start off strong, and well, then let's say it doesn't go the way we hope. In fact, only 8% of people actually stick to their resolutions. Why is that? Lots of reasons. So it is hard to stick to resolutions. So I decided to find some resolutions that are a little different. And so there are 55 resolutions courtesy of Parade Magazine that, well, when I first read these, they had me at resolution number one, and you're about to see why, because the resolution is, focus on, where is my resolution? Focus on a passion, not the way you look. Focus on a passion, not the way you look. There is an Instagram influencer named Meek Zazon. I hope that I have pronounced her name correctly. She is on a mission to normalize normal bodies, and she says, I want to inform readers and listeners that resolutions are, in fact, not an invitation to start a diet or a workout plan, but a beautiful reminder that a new year can bring new life to our passions. So what is your passion? What is it that makes you excited that you can't wait to do? What is it that really enriches your life? What is that? And if you don't have it, well, you know, maybe your resolution could be to find it, to find the thing that really lights your fire, that really makes you excited. You know, when you're a little kid and you get, you know, kids always have like these passions and they get really into something and it's so focused and so excited and so amazing. And lots of them move on to, you know, different things. My now 12-year-old was really into horseback riding, really into horseback riding. We have a stuffed like a stuffed pony size stuffed animal of a horse because she was so into it that she had to have a horse with her, even a fake horse, at all times. And of course, I had to help her have the horse because I was so deprived as a kid. So of course, I'm going to give my kid what I didn't have. Just a little insight into me. And then she got into Krav Maga, which was after she fell off said horse doing a jump, which her father and I were just very happy to let her stop going horseback riding and start Krav Maga-ing. And then, you know, other things. And now she's into tennis. So remember being a kid, what were you excited about? What was it that was really so fun that you couldn't wait to do? Make this year the year that you either discover what that is again or rediscover it or create a new passion and start to do it. Take the time to do it. If you love reading, if you used to love reading and you haven't picked up a book in forever, maybe you listen to a book on Audible or whatever. By the way, speaking of books on Audible, The Binge Cure will soon be available on Audible. It is heading to retail, according to Amazon, so that means it's soon going to be available on Audible and iTunes. Anyway, maybe you used to read and you listen to books on Audible or whatever, books on tape. Maybe it's time to rediscover the joy of picking up a book and just turning a page and getting immersed in that. Whatever it is, discover your passion. Number two, work out to feel good, not to lose weight. Instead of obsessing over the scale, obsess over how amazing you feel when you start being active, right? That's really the key. You're not exercising so you can earn the right to eat something. You're not exercising so you can change your body, ideally. You're exercising because it's good for your body. It feels good. You feel better. Those endorphins start going and you feel a sense of accomplishment and your body feels more alive. It's the best feeling. So work out because you're going to feel good afterwards, and cumulatively it's going to make you feel good overall, and the benefits you'll go throughout your day, throughout your life. Work out to feel good, not because you ate something you think that you need to work out and off the calories. Give one compliment a day. You never know, it just might make that person feel a whole lot better. Give one compliment a day. That is a lovely resolution. I love that resolution. And you know what? While you're at it, give yourself a compliment a day. Acknowledge yourself. In my online group, the Inner Circle group, we end every week with everyone taking a moment to acknowledge something that they feel good about themselves, about who they are, or something that they feel good that they've accomplished. And it's so amazing how when you look for the evidence of how you can feel good about yourself, you find it. And I love seeing people get in touch with, oh, I like this about myself, or oh, I feel good about this that I did differently, or this that I didn't do, and I feel good about it. Makes you feel so much better, and it makes you feel good about yourself. So give a compliment a day to someone else, and while you're at it, give a compliment a day to yourself, I say. Oh, here's a resolution that they recommend it, but I can't get on board with this resolution. Go a whole day without checking your email. Huh. Whew. That kind of makes me nervous just reading it. They say, Parade the writer says, nobody's going to die. It can wait until tomorrow. Yeah, but then you get stressed, worrying about what someone's written and what's going on and what if you don't get back to them soon enough and all of that. So if that resonates with you, go a whole day without checking your email, then wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. If, like me, that kind of makes you twitch, don't do it. Do random acts of kindness. Are you familiar with Norbert the Therapy Dog on Instagram? He is the cutest little 3-pound bundle of 3-pound cuteness you have ever seen. He is so adorable. And he reminds us that anyone can be kind and it costs you nothing. He says on his Instagram, I may only be 3 pounds, but it's not the size of the dog. It's the size of the heart that counts. Through social media, I love to bring joy into people's lives by making them smile with my photos and videos. I think acts of kindness and generosity make the world a better place. We call my community of nearly 2 million followers worldwide the Norberthood. We encourage caring and compassion and believe it is better to be thoughtful and kind than to bully. Oh, yes, we can use a lot less bullying this year. And hopefully, starting in November 2020, we're going to have a leader who is not a bully. So let's spread smiles together. As Norbert says, you don't have to be big to make a big difference in the world. Yes, this is so true. Acts of kindness and generosity make the world a better place and make you feel better. And when you are caring and compassionate to others, it's also important to be caring and compassionate to yourself. It is better to be thoughtful and kind to yourself than to bully yourself. So let's bring this to our community, which is that often when you bully yourself, when you're mean to yourself, when you say vicious, horrible things to yourself, you feel terrible. You feel terrible about yourself, messes with your self-esteem. It's just awful. But when you are a friend to yourself, when you're kind to yourself, when you're thoughtful to yourself, then you feel better. And when you feel good, when you feel better, you're less likely to use food to feel better because you feel good. So why do you need food to feel better? You already feel good. When you bully yourself, when you say mean things, when you talk to yourself in a nasty way, when you talk to yourself in a second person, you suck, you know, some version of that. You're never going to lose weight. Why did you do this? Why can't you do that? Ugh, if people only knew the truth about you, they would hate you. They wouldn't like you. Oh, these are the things that people say to themselves all the time. It's bully speak. It's mean. And when you say that to yourself, when you bully yourself, you are going to use food just to escape your own mean bullying voice. That's how it works. You know? The key to making peace with food, the key to changing your relationship to food is to change your relationship to yourself. That is why, you know, that's what my book is all about, The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating. It is really all about changing your relationship to yourself in many different ways. So don't bully yourself. Be kind, be thoughtful. Join the Norberthood. I love it. Read a book a month. Another great resolution. Read a book a month. Reading is good for your brain. It is good for your mind. It can reduce stress. It can improve your memory and concentration. And let's face it, it can transport you to different worlds. You know, it can take you anywhere you want to go, anywhere you can think of. You can solve murder mysteries. You can go to different worlds. I used to love Robert Heinlein when I was a kid. Escape, escape, escape. It was the nearest thing to going into living in Star Wars world. You could go to the past. You could go to the future. You could identify with anybody in history or in the future. You could just have an amazing experience of being transported somewhere else. It can make you think. It can make you learn. Reading is amazing. So read a book a month or more. Another resolution, go someplace you've never been. Go someplace you've never been. Step outside your comfort zone, literally and figuratively, and do something that you think is daring. it's good for you. It forces you to learn new things, and you might just have fun. In fact, you should just have fun. You will have fun. Go someplace you've never been. So, hey, where do you want to go that you've never been? I have always wanted to go to St. Petersburg, but I kind of want to go to St. Petersburg of the past, right? When the czars were ran Russia, which is not a good thing, I know, but when St. Petersburg was the Paris of the East, when it was in its glory, I that's where I want to go. Oh, we have a caller. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Dr. Nina. It's Brian from Chicago.
Brian from Chicago. Hello. Good to hear from you.
You too. I hope your New Year is starting off really well.
It is. I am here at the studio. I am talking to everybody and sharing some New Year's resolutions. So far, so good.
Well, my question for you is actually about resolutions, which is, of course, you know, it's now the first day of 2020 and people are thinking about their resolutions for the year. But I'm wondering what advice you have for folks when they slip from their resolutions or break their resolutions or fail at keeping their resolutions. And why are those resolutions, especially when it comes to, you know, weight or body image or self-care, or self-worth, why are those always the hardest ones to keep?
Well, that is a great question. And I think this speaks to earlier, I was saying only 8% of people actually stick to their resolutions, I mean, across the board, all kinds of resolutions. One of the reasons is that the goals are unrealistic, totally unrealistic. And when you set a goal like, I'm not going to eat sugar this year, well, that's pretty unrealistic and it's impossible to attain. And plus it sets up the, you know, experience of deprivation leads to binging. The anticipation or the experience of deprivation makes you want something more. So if you tell yourself something along the lines of, and I use this as an example because I've heard it a lot lately, people telling me, well, I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to eat sugar at all, the whole 2020, things like that. That is totally unrealistic. And then when people inevitably fail, then they feel bad about themselves and then they end up, say, binging or overeating for comfort. So that's one, that is one reason why these resolutions fail. Also, people just try to like go cold turkey, like I'm not going to do this anymore, or I am going to do this, and so they white knuckle it. They use willpower to create change instead of focusing on why they're doing what they're doing that they want to change, or why they're not doing something they want to do. So if it's, hey, I'm going to make myself go to the gym, you know, 5 days a week. First of all, that might be unrealistic. So there's a reason why people might fail. But secondly, it's like, okay, but why have you not been going to the gym? Now, what is it about going to the gym that is so unpleasant that it's made you not want to go? What are your ideas about that? Let's get to and understand those rather than just force yourself to go to the gym or go on a diet or whatever.
So what can people do when they're in that moment of like sort of shame or just, you know, self-recrimination when the resolution inevitably gets broken? Because I could see how that would be a little bit of a spiral by itself, you know, where you kind of get to that place where it's like, okay, I have totally failed at this resolution. You want to be able to pick up and move forward. But how, what's the best first step for somebody when they find themselves in that headspace of like, you know, they can't quite take the step forward into maybe creating a more realistic resolution or thinking a little bit about what that resolution really meant to them because they're too busy beating themselves up?
Well, that the answer to your question is to stop beating themselves up, to stop the self-recrimination. It's the way that you respond to it that matters. So I always say, look, what would you say to a friend if a friend said to you, hey, I made a New Year's resolution to, you know, stick to the my paleo diet and I ended up eating, you know, bread, you wouldn't say to your friend, oh my God, I can't believe that you ate bread. You blew it. You're never going to stick to this diet. You suck. You know, self-recrimination and beating yourself up. You'd probably never say that to a friend. You'd say, hey, totally understand it. Okay, it's bread. It's one day. Get, you know, go back on your paleo tomorrow. It's okay. What, you know, you miss bread. All right, it's not the end of the world. People often talk to themselves in such a harsh, mean, awful, bullying way, as I was saying earlier, but they talk to their friends in a completely different way. So, I mean, if anyone out there actually talks to their friends as a bully, then that's a whole other thing. You've got to look at that and change. But Brian, to answer your question, the main thing that people can do differently is to watch the way they respond to themselves. And if you wouldn't say it to a friend, don't say it to yourself. And speak to yourself the way you speak to a friend.
That might be the best resolution to make, actually.
Yeah.
From that can come all sorts of better behaviors.
You're right. That just became my new favorite resolution. Be to yourself as you are to your friends. Yeah.
I like it. Well, thank you, Dr. Nina. And I know we'll be speaking again throughout 2020, but I hope it's a great year for you. And I look forward to calling in again.
Thank you. And enjoy chilly Chicago. And I look forward to you calling again soon.
I will do it. And okay. I'm going to go outside and bundle my sorry self up because it's cold.
Okay. All right. Happy New Year.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Brian from Chicago. That is an awesome goal for you guys. Be to yourself as you are to your friends, assuming you're nice to your friends. And I'm going to assume you are nice to your friends. You're just not nice to yourselves. And actually, now that I think about it, there are other reasons why people fail at their goals. They often set too many goals, right? I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to go to the gym 5 times a week. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to save money. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to do this. Like a ton of goals, all these changes. And of course, it's too much. And of course, they fail. The other thing is, don't make a goal to go to the gym 5 days a week. Make a goal to go twice a week, something manageable. And if you end up going 5 times a week, hey, that's great. But if you only go twice, then you've met your goal. And going twice to the gym is pretty good, especially if you haven't been consistent. So set a goal that's realistic and that you can do. Because if you go, you say, I got to go 5 times a week, and you go twice a week, you're going to feel bad. Oh, I failed. I failed my goal. And then we know where that slippery slope leads, right? Then you beat yourself up. Then you feel bad. Then what's in the kitchen? I got to get away from my bad feeling. But if you say, I'm going to only go twice and you go 5 times, you're going to feel great. If you say, I'm only going to go twice and you go twice, you're going to feel great. If you say, I'm going to go twice and you go once, you say, okay, you know what? I almost made it. So being realistic and setting goals that you can actually meet are going to be helpful. So, and also give yourself time and remember that change is not a straight line. From, you know, down here to up here, it's you know, there's ups and downs along the way, and I guess the old saying of 2 steps forward, 1 step back, that's change. So allow yourself the 1 step back. It's going to make a difference, right? When you say, okay, this is just a natural part of change. It's a little dip. It's a step back. But overall, I am somewhere that I've moved forward. I'm somewhere new. So just note how having a kinder perspective really makes such a difference. Okay. Next resolution is clear out the clutter. Clutter is literally bad for your health. Nick, I don't know if you are listening. Haven't heard from you in a while. Hope you're doing okay. But Nick has a situation where someone he lives with has a problem with maybe hoarding or cluttering. And it is a problem. So Nick, this is for you and anyone else who has a sense of clutter. It is literally bad for your health. It stresses you out. And stress is bad for your health, as you know. So make 2020 a year that you get organized, a little bit of at a time. It's really interesting because often when I talk to patients and they begin to clear out some of the old notions they have about themselves, the old ideas they have about themselves, the negative ways of thinking, they will inevitably say things to me like, oh, I don't know why, I just cleaned my closet out. I cleaned my closet out and I got rid of all those clothes that I'm never going to wear. Or, you know, I got rid of all this stuff that I've got in my garage and I don't know, it's just been there and I just had to get rid of it. And it's always very interesting to me because it's like a symbolic way of getting rid of things as they are simultaneously getting rid of the ideas about themselves and the world that is cluttering their minds. As they get rid of that mental clutter, they also get rid of or organize their, the stuff they don't need in their homes, which is not to say that they're messy. It's just there's unwanted things. We all have it. We all have that drawer or that garage or whatever that has too much stuff in it. Well, most of us have it. Most people I know have it. Some people have completely pristine, organized lives, and wouldn't that be nice? But it is interesting how as we get rid of the ideas that we have about ourselves that are cluttering our head, that we don't need, that make us feel bad about ourselves, we often get rid of the tangible things that are cluttering our homes. So interesting. Oh, wait a minute. I just realized that I am not looking on Facebook. So if anyone has any questions that you want to ask me, you can ask me, you can call in as Brian did at 818-602-4929. Or you could go to Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin on Facebook and write in a question where I am live right now. So far. Okay. All right. So if you have any questions, be sure to call in or post them. All right. My Facebook is taking a really long time, and I am sorry about that. Okay. Back to these resolutions. Turn off your phone one night a week. You're sleeping anyway, you don't need it. I would say turn off your phone, and my family is probably laughing to hear me say this, but turn off your phone before dinner and keep it off. Keep it off. Just be with the people that you're with instead of being with the people you're with and your phone. I am very guilty of this, and one of my resolutions is to be better about that and really turn off my phone. If someone emails me, if there's something going on, I can get back to them tomorrow. That's what I'm telling myself. Reduce your waste. That's another resolution suggested by Parade. Research says that the average American produces over 2,000 pounds of trash every year. Whew. Reduce your waste by ditching paper towels in favor of rags you cut up from old towels and clothes. Another easy switch is reusable grocery bags. It makes a difference. How can I connect this? Reduce your waste. Reduce the wasted ideas you have about yourself. Reduce the trashy thoughts you have about yourself. Reduce that. Don't focus on reducing the number on the scale. Reduce the wasteful, trashy trash talk of your towards yourself that only makes you feel terrible, makes you feel bad about yourself. And we know that feeling bad about yourself or feeling bad is a precursor to eating, overeating, binging, stress eating, etc. Number 12, volunteer. Not only is volunteering good for your own mental and physical health, they say. I'm not sure why it's good for your physical health. I guess if you're on the beach picking up trash, that would be good for you. But most of all, you're doing something kind and selfless for others. And that is something that is so important. We are, you know, we're all connected. We're all here. We're all on this planet together trying to lead our best lives. And we have to take care of each other, not just ourselves. We have to take care of each other. And part of that is being kind and being selfless. They also suggest another resolution, travel on a small budget. Traveling on a budget is all about flexibility and being willing to sacrifice a bit of comfort and luxury in favor of seeing the world and the life-changing experiences that travel comes with, says Eli Solidum, the partying traveler, is his blog. A lot of people have the idea that travel needs to be luxurious and holidays need to be expensive for them to have fun. But my experience over the last 3 years of budget backpacking says otherwise. Well, I see the point. But you don't have to go as far as budget backpacking. But, you know, when you get out there and you, this is related to getting outside of your comfort zone, when you go somewhere and you don't go to the typical touristy, more expensive places, and you go to the places where the people who live there eat and shop and all of that. It's a really rewarding experience. When I was in China, we would go out to random Chinese restaurants. There were a lot of restaurants there for Americans, and they would have like English on the menu, and there'd be all these Americans there. And no, I don't want to go to be with a bunch of Americans in Beijing or Nanning or Guangzhou. I want to go and be where Chinese people go. And so we would go, and of course we couldn't read the menu whatsoever. But we would just point and hope for the best. What's that? And a lot of it was, there were pictures of things. And sometimes I'm not even going to tell you what the pictures were of. But it was really fun. And we were usually the only Americans there. And people would try out their English on us. And we would meet people. And we would have interesting conversations. And sometimes very limited conversations. But it was so great. And we would never have had that experience if we had just stayed with those places that cater to tourists. So really amazing. Write down one thing you're grateful for every night. End the night with gratitude, and you'll feel better when you lay your head down on your pillow. Oh, that's beautiful. Write one thing you're grateful for every night. Number 15, drink more water. You've probably heard water is good for you. Your body needs it. 75% of us are chronically dehydrated. Drink up. I got water right here. I should probably be drinking it. Next resolution, take some of your paychecks and put it in savings or investment. Just a small percentage can really add up down the line. Plan for the future. That's a good idea. Stop multitasking. Multitasking can lead to memory problems. It reduces our brain's gray matter. It hurts productivity and efficiency. It could even increase stress, anxiety, and depression. Focus on one thing at a time. What? Wait a minute. So they're saying it's bad to watch a show and read a magazine and be on my email at the same time? I have work to do. Oh, I love multitasking. Okay, I'll consider it. Talk to yourself with kindness. Yes! We aim to be nice to others, but criticize ourselves relentlessly. Stop. Think nicer things about yourself, they say. Well, this is really easier said than done. Much easier said than done. Why do we treat ourselves in a mean way in the first place? This is the important thing to think about. Why? Because we learn a way of talking to ourselves that is mean. If you are criticizing yourself relentlessly, where did you learn to do that? Who criticized you? Or who did you see criticizing others? I've had people tell me that they're like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm so critical. My parents didn't criticize me. My parents were always super loving to me, and I never received criticism. And then they'll be like, I mean, of course, my parents were really critical of other people. Like, well, there you have it. If you're learning it from somewhere, if you're seeing people be critical towards others, or if people are being critical towards you, that's how you're learning to be critical of yourself. You learned it. And the good news is you can unlearn it. But it's really important to look at, where did you learn this mode of being towards yourself? Walk into a coworker's office instead of emailing them. We sit entirely too much, and the Mayo Clinic says sitting can be as deadly as smoking and obesity. Really? Wow, that's not good. Okay, well, get a Fitbit or something and just walk 250 steps every hour. You know, take the stairs to the next level to use the restroom, or, you know, walk around the building a couple times at lunch. Or if you're at home, you know, walk around your neighborhood. Just get up and go. But I guess the point that they're making is just even the small steps that you're taking to get up and walk and talk to someone rather than emailing them, that all adds up, and that's good for you. Next resolution, don't buy things you don't need. We love to spend money even if it's for no good reason. Don't need it, don't buy it. Well, sometimes it's good to get something you want. You know, this is a little bit too rigid, in my opinion. I think it's good to, you know, as a rule, not be frivolous with money or not buy a bunch of stuff that you want but don't need. But we also should be able to reward ourselves. We should get what we want and don't need. I believe that sometimes our culture says it's wrong to want. Somehow it's acceptable to need, but it is wrong to want. And here's the thing. It is human to want. I think I've told you guys the story I heard about Oprah. I really have to source it. I don't know if it's true, but I'm going to go with it being true, which is that before she was Oprah, she was in some kind of beauty pageant. I know I've talked about this recently, but this is all about hearing things over and over and over again, so you can hear it again. So apparently, she's in this beauty pageant, and the question was to the contestants, what would you do with $1 million? And one after another, the contestants are like, well, I would build an orphanage in Kenya, and, you know, I would give all the $1 million to this charity or that charity, or I would. It was all very philanthropic and all very altruistic and all of that, one after the other, after the other, after the other. They all said it. And then they got to Oprah. Miss Winfrey, what would you do with $1 million? And Oprah said, are you kidding me? I'm going to go shopping. Because realistically, of course, you get $1 million, you're going to go shopping. Maybe you're also going to, hopefully you're also going to, you know, fund charities and all of that, but you're going to go shopping. The key, the point is that somehow there's this idea that needing something has some purity to it, but wanting something is bad. But we all want things. We all want things. Let's normalize wanting. And by the way, the same principle applies to wanting stuff than it does to food. When you deprive yourself or you anticipate deprivation, what's going to happen? You're going to go, you're going to binge. You're going to overeat if it's food. When you don't let yourself have stuff that you want, eventually you're going to go do some serious retail therapy. You're going to go on a shopping binge. Deprivation leads to binging with food and with other things. So that is why it's important to give yourself what you want sometimes. Hey, you work hard, right? You're a good person. Why not? Why not have what you want? Why is it somehow better to be deprived? Why is it somehow sinful to get what you want and saintly to be deprived? Let's challenge that. Sometimes give yourself something that you want. Next resolution, keep a journal. Journaling can help battle anxiety, stress, and depression. Even if you only write a few sentences, you can reap the benefits. Yeah, journaling really helps you be reflective rather than reactive. And you head to the kitchen or, you know, the drive-thru or whatever because you're upset, or even if you don't know you're upset, something's eating at you that you don't even realize, and you're like, I am going to eat my feelings away. That's being self-abandoning and reactive. You're enacting something. You're eating to get away from an uncomfortable feeling. And that way it's a frenemy. It helps you. It's doing something for you. You are getting out of a bad feeling and comforting yourself or numbing yourself, escaping, whatever it is. It's doing something for you, even though it's also hurting you and it's not resolving the problem. Journaling is the opposite of self-abandonment. It is self-reflection. Journaling forces you to think and feel and consider what's going on in my life. What do I want? What do I feel? What's happening? What do I need? As long as your journal is kind and from a place of curiosity, not criticism. Many people have told me that they looked back at their old journals and were sort of horrified by how mean the journaling was. And often they said, oh my God, and I realized I talked to myself in the second person. You're never going to do this, right? So that kind of journaling is not helpful, but reflective, interested, curious journaling about yourself and your life, your needs and your wants, your goals, your dreams, your experiences, that's good. Next resolution, clean out your car. Clean out your car. It is so easy for your car to become trashed, especially if you drive a lot. Spot clean as you go, so your ride is always looking sharp. I guess this is related to when you have like a clean, pristine car environment, you also feel better. Another resolution, put your bills on auto pay. It's one less thing you have to think about, and you'll never pay late fees again. Win-win. Okay. Number 24, some of these overlap. Take the stairs. They say it's good for your caboose. It's good for your caboose. It's good for your heart. It's good for a lot of things. It gets you moving. It gets those steps going. Next resolution, go to the dentist when you're supposed to. Your oral health can actually have an impact on things that are happening in other parts of your body, like your heart and your lungs. Yes, very important to go to the dentist. Plus, it feels so good when you leave and your teeth are so clean and fresh. Best feeling. Be kind on social media is the next resolution. It's Blitz on Instagram says, I think everyone who uses social media should strive to empathize more with strangers and respond to others on the internet with kindness. Don't let hate or bullying be motivation for interacting on social platforms. Yeah, be kind on social media, be kind to yourself, be kind to your friends, be kind to strangers, be kind. Kindness is good. Next resolution, let go of grudges. Wouldn't it be nice to start 2020 with a clean slate, they say. Leave hate behind. Anger is so 2019. How do you do this? By the way, anger is not so 2019. I take exception to this. No. Anger is a human reaction. Mad, sad, glad, and afraid. Those are four basic human emotions that all other feelings can essentially be distilled down to one of those. Mad, sad, glad, and afraid. So you can't leave anger behind. But what you can do is when you are angry or sad, or I mean, you don't want to work through glad, but or fear, whatever it is that you are feeling, you gotta pay attention to it. You've gotta feel it. The only way to stop feeling it is to feel it, to express it, not necessarily to the person who's making you mad. Maybe you can't do that anyway, but to express it, maybe in that journal, maybe to a friend, maybe to a partner, to somebody. Express what you feel. That is how you get rid of feelings, and that is how you heal. So you can get a clean slate, as they put it, by allowing yourself to attend to express your feelings. And by the way, that doesn't mean thinking them. For example, here is thinking your anger. Okay, ready? This is thinking your anger. Okay. I'm very angry. Okay? That is a thought. That is a thinking your anger. That is a recognition of anger. I am very angry. However, this is how you express it and how you allow yourself to feel it. I am so pissed. I'm so mad. Ugh. See the difference? It's one thing to say, for example, I'm very sad. And it's another to cry. You got to actually express your feelings to get rid of those feelings in the moment. Yes, they're going to come back because things happen. They make you mad. They make you sad. They make you afraid. They make you happy. So letting go of grudges is only possible if you work through it, if you work through your anger, your sadness, everything that comes with, you know, sort of mourning, which is denial. That doesn't bother me. Anger, I am so pissed. Bargaining, well, maybe if I just do this, then I'll feel that. Depression, oh, this is so awful. And finally, acceptance. So the only way to get rid of feelings is to feel them. If you don't, then they build up and they build up and they build up and they build up. I have talked about my college roommate who was always borrowing stuff from me. She would borrow like shirts, jeans, use my computer, like just she would do all kinds of things. She would call it borrowing. And one day she reaches for my desk and she's like, oh, can I borrow that eraser? And I said, no, you cannot borrow my eraser. You cannot borrow my eraser. She's like, oh my God, it's just an eraser. Well, no, it wasn't an eraser. It was the jeans and the shirts and the this and the that and the borrowing and the eating my food and my this and my that and never replacing it. And right, it was all the things that she had done that were upsetting me, but I never said anything so that when she reached for that eraser, that was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back and I blew up. It would have been much better if earlier on I would have said, look, can you please not borrow my stuff? It really bothers me. Please respect me. But at that point in my life, I was not capable of that. I am now. You can change. Everyone can change. Next resolution. Oh my gosh. Stay in touch with the people who matter. Even a quick call, text, or email can make a world of difference. So that is, I cannot believe that is the end of our show. Thank you so much for being here with me on the first day of 2020. I wish you all good things for 2020, but above all, as Brian from Chicago said, be a friend to yourself this year. If you wouldn't say it to a friend, don't say it to yourself. be kind to yourself, and you will feel better. And when you feel better, guess what? You don't need food for comfort. How about that? What a concept. So happy New Year, everyone. And I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.